angels. What role do they play in our deliverance? Just how are they affecting your life right now? We invite you to give Brother David Wise from the Kirkwood Congregation in Houston your attention as he presents the role of angels in rendering public service.
The popularity of angels is on the rise. You may have noticed it yourself. There are movies, TV shows, music, and books that feature angels. Among the many books that have been written, one even encourages people to come into contact with angels. Now you may wonder, how am I going to do that? I don't even know their name. It's not a problem. The book lists the names. It even gives a celestial top 10 of the best known angels in the Western world and goes on to give instructions on how you can use that name to communicate with these angels. Why would they want to do that? Well, no doubt they are looking for superhuman guidance and protection in life, looking to these angels to help them to succeed. Well, in view of such ideas, as Christians, we do well to ask, exactly what does the Bible say about angels? And what role do they play in the affairs of humans today? Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11, we see in vision, what it says is myriads of angels attending to Jehovah's throne. This myriads of myriads would number into the millions. Perhaps even billions of these spirit creatures who are ministering to Jehovah and carrying out His will. Like their Creator, they are highly organized. They even have ranks. First and foremost among the angels is the Archangel, Jesus Christ, also known as Michael. And under his authority, there are seraphs, there are cherubs, and there are other angels. Among the angels, certainly this archangel, Jesus Christ, played a significant role, especially when it came to the creation of all things, whether in heaven or here on the earth. First, he helped in creating all the other angels, and then he began to help in creating the material universe, and finally, even founding the earth. Well, what was the reaction of the angels when they saw the earth being created? Please turn with me to Job chapter 38, and let's take note of their reaction. That's Job chapter 38, and in verse 4 we see that Jehovah is questioning Job. And notice what he asked him there in verse 4. Where did you happen to be when I founded the earth? Sort of putting Job in his place. And then he goes on and begins talking about various things that were happening while the earth was being founded, and among them was what's mentioned in verse 7. When the morning stars, or angels, joyfully cried out together, and all the sons of God began shouting in applause. Well, why was there such gladness among the angels at the founding of the earth? No doubt they recognized that earth was special among God's creations. Maybe they had even been given a foregleam of Jehovah's purpose as regards the earth. But in any case, one thing is sure, from that time they have continued to look with keen interest at the development of the affairs here on the earth. Sadly, not all angels remained faithful to Jehovah. First and foremost among these is Satan the devil. He rebelled against Jehovah and his sovereignty. And in his rebellion, he was able to turn Adam and Eve away from serving Jehovah. But more than that, he was even able to cause other angels to forsake their God-given assignments in heaven. joining him in this rebellion, in effect becoming among the wicked spirit forces in heavenly places. In other words, Satan and the demons are the rulers of this system of things. And from that vantage point, they bring vicious opposition to those who wish to serve Jehovah God. Well, since Satan and the demons have such hatred for God's people, and since it's become even more intensified as these last days are winding down to a close, we may ask, is there any relief for us? Open your Bibles again, this time to Hebrews chapter 1. There the Apostle Paul makes a comment about these spirit sons of God. And he helps us to appreciate a little bit of their role among humans. That's Hebrews chapter 1. You'll notice there in verse 14, he asks the question, are they not all spirits for public service, sent forth to minister for those who are going to inherit salvation? Well, to begin with, let's focus on the first part of that verse. In what sense are angels spirits for public service? Well, the term angel literally means messenger. And so one of the duties of angels would be to serve as God's messengers to mankind. Indeed, such angels play a significant role in conveying divine direction, providing protection, and helping obedient humans to succeed in carrying out His will. But exactly how do they accomplish this? Turn this time to Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, and we'll see the foremost activity among angels during these last days. There in Revelation chapter 14, in verse 6, it says, "And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, and he had everlasting good news to declare as tidings to those who dwell on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people, saying in a loud voice, Fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of the judgment by Him has arrived. And so worship the One who made the heaven and the earth and sea and fountains of waters." So we can see from this verse that the angels are heavily involved in the preaching of the good news throughout the inhabited earth. Now, can you hear them declaring that good news? No. Only human representatives of Jehovah actually voice this good news of the kingdom. But behind the scenes, angels are assisting and directing the preaching work today. It might, for example, make us think of Philip in Acts chapter 8. An angel directed him to go and speak to the Ethiopian eunuch. The result? The Ethiopian eunuch was baptized. Considering the success of Jehovah's people today of going to people's homes and trying to change their religion, as some people would say, there must be angels involved in this work throughout the world today. Oftentimes we have seen what appears to be angelic direction as Jehovah's Witnesses are directed to those who are just praying or seeking Jehovah and seeking spiritual help. Well, do you think that angels care about how we respond as individuals to this message? You know, we don't have to worry about it. Luke chapter 15:10 says that joy arises among the angels of God over one sinner that repents and turns around to serving Jehovah God. Friends, does it not warm your heart to see the love the angels have for mankind? This assignment that angels have today of preaching the good news is soon going to change. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31 helps us to see that at the Great Tribulation, that they will assist in a different kind of work, more of a judicial type of work. It says there that they will separate people here on the earth, one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And then they will serve as public executioners, as they will bring destruction upon those who do not know God and those who do not obey the good news about our Lord Jesus. From considering these different points, it's clear, isn't it, that these angels do render public service during these last days and will continue to do so. But you know, we do well to consider exactly how have these angels delivered God's servants in times past. At Genesis chapter 28, now we're going back a little ways, all the way back to Jacob. Jacob fell asleep in this instance, and he had a dream. And you may have heard of Jacob's ladder. He had a dream of a ladder. Now, in of itself, that may not sound too exciting, but this ladder was quite unusual. You see, it was stationed here on the earth, but it reached clear up to the heavens. And in this dream, he saw angels that were ascending and descending on this ladder. Well, what does that indicate? Well, it indicates that the angels play a special role as God's messengers, as they not only bring messages, but they even minister to Jehovah's faithful servants. And clearly, they did it all the way back in those patriarchal times. Let's consider some of the ways that angels have ministered or delivered faithful ones of Jehovah in the past. Look to Genesis chapter 19. As you look at the running heads at the top of your Bible, you'll note it's dealing with Sodom and Gomorrah. And that quickly brings to our mind that Jehovah was not happy with that area. The people had become grossly immoral, and he determined to bring divine destruction upon that land. However, there was a faithful family there. Notice there in chapter 19 of Genesis, verse 15. It says, however, when the dawn ascended, then the angels became urgent with Lot, saying, get up, take your wife and your two daughters who are found here, for fear you may be swept away in the error of the city. When he kept lingering, then in the compassion of Jehovah upon him, the men seized hold of his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, and they proceeded to bring him out and to station him outside the city. And so the angels practically dragged him out of the city, didn't they, in order to deliver them and to protect them from divine destruction. Moving a little further in history, we think about the nation of Israel. Turn to Exodus chapter 23. In this instance, the Israelites have been freed from their slavery to Egypt. And now they're in the wilderness, and we know they're going to be spending some time there. But they wouldn't be alone. Notice what it says, what Jehovah tells them there in verse 20. He says, here I am sending an angel ahead of you to keep you on the road and to bring you into the place that I have prepared. Watch yourself because of him and obey his voice. Now, Jesus is often called the Word in the Scriptures. Helps us to appreciate that this likely was Jesus in his pre-human form. And what an amazing role he played in guiding and directing this entire nation out of Egypt to spend 40 years in the wilderness and then to deliver them just as Jehovah had spoken into the promised land. King David, too, was aware of angelic rescue, and King David needed it from time to time. As we recall, he was dealt with armies, he dealt with Saul, he dealt with others, he dealt with a lion and a bear. So he was aware of angelic protection. In fact, he even sang about it in a verse we're all familiar with, it's Psalm 34:7. He says, the angel of Jehovah is camping all around those fearing him, and he rescues them. Other notable examples of angelic deliverance, we may think of the Assyrian army that was attacking Jerusalem. One angel destroyed 185,000 of the Assyrian army, sent them home with their tail between their legs. And how could we forget how the angel rescued Daniel, shutting the mouth of lions there in the lion's pit? Or how the angel protected the three young Hebrews who were thrown into the fiery furnace. Clearly, there are many examples in patriarchal times, in ancient times, where angels provided protection for God's people. And it continued even on into the first century. Consider Jesus as a 2-year-old. Herod wanted to destroy him. An angel told Joseph, take the child, go to Egypt. Jesus was preserved. He was delivered. Later in Jesus' life, after the temptation and before his death, he was in need of encouragement. Jehovah saw that and he sent angels to strengthen him and to encourage him. The Apostle Peter also enjoyed being delivered by an angel. For his preaching activity, he was put in prison, surrounded by 4 guards, shackles on his hands, at least 2 gates that were shut. An angel came in, miraculously removed the shackles, walked him right past the guards. The account even says the gate opened of its own accord, walked right out of the prison. When they got out, the angel said, get back to preaching. So even Peter was able to enjoy angelic protection. What do all these examples help us to appreciate? What do they do for us? Do they not give us confidence that the angels are aware of our circumstances? Yes, and even today they are still active in directing, sustaining, and delivering God's servants. We recall Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, where it mentions that these are spirits for public servants. Well, the latter part of that scripture went on to say that these angels minister for those who are going to inherit salvation. And so that helps us to appreciate that if one truly wants to enjoy angelic protection, they must be an obedient servant of Jehovah God. So then, do we enjoy angelic protection today? Well, let's think about that for a minute. Here we are. We're gathered at this wonderful convention, being instructed by Jehovah. How do you think Satan feels about that? You think he appreciates it? When we leave here all built up and encouraged from what we hear and we go back out into the ministry and we begin sharing scriptures with our neighbors, do you think Satan's going to be okay with that? Of course not. If Satan had his way, he would wipe God's people off the surface of the ground. The fact that we are here today is evidence of divine protection, including Jehovah's powerful angels. Do we not appreciate such loving protection? Of course, we know that as individuals, we cannot always expect to be protected as Peter was. Other Christians, for example, did not receive such deliverance. Almost in the very same time, Stephen was murdered. 2, James, the brother of John, was put to death. What's the difference? Well, it really boils down to the circumstances and the issues involved. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 reminds us that God is faithful. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. And so Jehovah will not allow us to be tempted beyond what is reasonable in proving the issues of His sovereignty and our own personal integrity. The example of Job gives evidence that Jehovah puts boundaries on Satan when it comes to testing and trying God's servants. You may recall, he says, sure, you can go do all these things to him, only him himself don't touch. And later he said, okay, you can touch him, but just don't take away his soul. You see, but in each case, Jehovah put boundaries on what Satan was allowed to do, and so likewise he does today. Even though there are some situations where we may receive severe persecution and possibly even death. One more thought on how angels deliver faithful servants of God has to do with not putting Jehovah unduly to the test. For example, we would never want to purposely put ourselves in life-threatening situations or involve ourselves in dangerous sporting type of activities. You know, Jesus was tempted by Satan to do something like that. You remember he tempted him to jump off the temple. He said, don't worry about it. The angels will protect you. As Jesus didn't agree with that thinking, did he? And so neither should we. We should never think that whatever we do, there's angels just hovering around us, just looking for some way to deliver us and to protect us from whatever may happen. engaging in such foolhardy behavior, we deserve whatever comes upon us. Well, friends, as we have seen, angels play a major role in the lives of God's servants today. Of course, we cannot see what goes on behind the scenes, but we can be sure and confident that angels are fulfilling their God-given assignment in directing, protecting, and delivering God's servants today in accordance with Jehovah's will. As we can see by our convention and the theme of it, our deliverance truly is at hand. So then, we do well to examine ourselves and make sure that we are working in harmony with these God-fearing spirit creatures by eagerly preaching the good news of the kingdom within our respective territories. Indeed, by doing so, we can look forward to their protection both now and through the great tribulation, and then have the glorious opportunity of serving with them forever in God's new world.